We're talking with Charles Rolla from Noble Research Institute. Charles, of course, you've been involved with Noble for several years, obviously leading the pecan efforts. Tell me about, you know, where are we right now when it comes to pecans and Noble? I know that it seems like you've kind of raised the profile a little bit.
We have. Over the last several years, pecans have came to the forefront at Noble. Noble's always has been involved with pecans since the purchase of the Red River Farm in, I believe, 75. And we've worked with the universities, mostly Oklahoma State University. But now we're starting to see some of our researchers at Noble take an interest in pecans, make some of the basic discoveries. And so we're actually building a team around pecan production there at Noble. And our president, Steve Rines, and our board is behind the effort.
Right. What's your vision? What would you like to see accomplished?
My vision is for Noble to become the central place for pecan information across the U.S. and hopefully across the world.
I know that, you know, you've obviously looked at several different levels of research, including stuff that kind of can be as far as that, some of that basic agronomic information, important to producers, but also you've done some basic research as well.
Yes, and I think all of our research is cooperator-driven. Mm-hmm. Even our basic stuff has to have an impact on a producer at some level. And so even our genetic work that we're doing has impact to a grower eventually, and hopefully not 100 years out, but within the next 10, 20 years. And that's where our focus is on research is driven by that producer.
I know, obviously, you know, some of the pests and diseases that are very endemic to pecans, you've kind of stepped up on those for sure.
Yeah, we're really focusing a lot on pecan scab. Mm-hmm. We've taken one of our researchers that was expert in endophytes with tall fescue and got her working on pecan scab, and she's made huge discoveries over the last couple of years. And with she continues, if we can ever identify scab, the mating scab in the orchard, that would change the whole industry on how we manage. And so we are looking at those. And we'll also continue to partner with the universities, OSU, A&M, with the entomology. We don't have entomology at Noble, but that's where the collaboration is so key for all of us to work together, no matter what state we're involved in.
You mentioned cooperators. You've obviously worked with folks that have got established pecan orchards quite a bit, but you've also kind of reached out and done some educational things to try to help folks get into the business.
Yes, for Noble, education is key now. And the more we can educate people, the better off we are as consultants or researchers. And so we are taking a big lead into the education effort. We're really modeling after university systems, how a student would go through school. We're trying to take a grower through that same progression from very basic to very, very advanced. And hopefully at the end, they can have a certification where that hopefully would help them if they're starting a orchard, need a line of credit at a bank. If they are certified, you know, or went through these classes, somebody that's going to financially support them would know that they know what they're doing. So the education is key for us.
That certification type program gives that a lot of assurance back up to that financial advisor.
Yes, sir. And that we see that as being a key, that something we can provide. Mm-hmm. You know, as we know in Oklahoma, extension is dwindling. All of the other states around us, extension is a problem. And how do we do that? And, you know, extension is looking at this mass education. And so we're kind of taking that same effort. We can't do as much one-on-one effort like we've done in the past. So how do we get that out? And that's through these education classes.
I know, you know, pecans are native to America, but it works very well in your primary footprint, Oklahoma and Texas.
Yes, sir. Oklahoma, we are blessed. Oklahoma has the highest percentage of natives. Our production is over 80% native production. That's a blessing and a curse for us. You know, if we could ever get people that have substantial numbers of natives on their property to start managing them, and, you know, Oklahoma could increase their production, you know, by really probably 10, maybe 20 million pounds a year. We can almost double our production by just managing what already exists.
Wow.
And that's a big part of what we want to do is through that education is to educate people. Pecans is a long-term investment. And if they exist, you have no investment up front. It's just the management of it and proper land stewardship of your property can reap rewards.
That kind of spurs this next question. That is, what does the guy do? In other words, he's got some pecan trees on his ranch. How does he get his arms around better management?
I think the first thing you do is identify the pecan areas. And then thin out the areas, get rid of the other species of trees. If you're going to manage pecans, you're going to manage pecans. So get rid of the other oaks or whatever else. Open those pecans up and see what you have to work with. And then at that point, one of the biggest problems with natives in Oklahoma is there are too many trees per acre. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of ranchers, and so I put it on their level as, you have a stocking rate for your cattle. We have a stocking rate for trees. And a good rule of thumb is during June, July at high noon, we want 50% or more sunlight hitting the orchard floor. And if you don't have that, if you can't grow grass under a tree, you've got too many trees per acre and you've got to start removing them. And by removing, even if you remove 3/4 of the trees on the property, your production will increase. And we got to open up and let it get sunlight. It takes to produce pecans. There's three keys things that you need. That's water, nutrients, and sunlight. And sunlight's the thing most people forget about. If we're not getting sunlight to penetrate around that tree at least 3/4 of the way around, your production's going to suffer.
What how does a successful pecan operation fit into the overall agricultural production system in Oklahoma?
Well, I think you see it on a lot of the big ranches. Pecans is a entity in itself, and if it's managed properly, if you have cattle, you can graze cattle under the pecans, and so you're utilizing cattle to remove the forage, and so you're not mowing as much as you would if you weren't grazing. Mm-hmm. There are areas of concern with pesticides. There are certain pesticides you can't spray in the pecan orchard because you're grazing. So there are some give and takes there. Mm-hmm. But on good years, like this year, 2019, looks like we have a really big crop, a short supply across the U.S., so prices should be high, and growers can make substantial money on a per acre basis. And if you look at a long-term, Noble done a grazing study under pecans for 19 years, and there were years pecans didn't make money, but over the 19 years, pecans made quite a bit more on a per acre basis than cattle did.
Right. A couple of topics from almost looking at them from a 30,000 foot perspective. You sharing with the folks of this Pecan Congress today about blockchain and how that may impact how we try to market pecans back to that end user.
Yeah, I think something for the industry, we have to be forward thinking, and we're selling our product to a consumer, and consumers want that transparency of where their food came from. And one part of my talk today was to share that a system that might be used through blockchain and have that develop that transparency. But as the industry, we're going to have a total buy-in from the industry to be able to do that.
Big players at the consumer end of things, the Walmarts, the Krogers of the world, they are really driving this information demand.
That's correct, and they're looking at their consumers, and consumers have changed over the last few years where they want information. They look at the ingredients on the package, and if they could trace that back to an individual farm that tells information of where their food came from, that increases sales. And so for us as an industry, we've got to start looking at that.
So, for that producer, that farmer, rancher that's got pecans on his operation, maybe he's actually already managing them pretty well. Where is that next step to be that best producer, that responsible producer that you can tell consumers with confidence, I'm doing the right thing?
you know, I think through social media is a great avenue to do that. We've heard about that today through the Congress about how you can use social media and get your word out and actually link to other folks. And then to me, as a scientist, record keeping is important. The more records you keep, the more information you can share with consumers or with consultants that's helping you grow your product.
One other thing that kind of you got questioned a little bit and had some conversations I heard on the sideline was this idea of being pecans being really a champion when it comes to climate, the sequestration of carbon.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at how much the size of the root system and the tree itself, and that it is a 100-year-plus species, if you look at carbon capture, that's the things that they're really looking at. And then the other adaptation of pecans, they are native to North America. They tolerate a wide range of environment. You know, we grow them from pretty much all across the U.S. They're just commercially produced in the southern, but you have pecans in Pennsylvania, New York, Washington, I mean, Illinois, all the way up into Canada, actually, pecans are being grown. And so they are adapted to a wide range of areas. They're just more suitable on production in the southern region. And if climate change continues, temperatures, what they keep saying, temperatures are going to increase. Pecans are one of the few species that their stomata actually don't close until after 170 degrees, where most plants will shut down at 95. So they actually like the hotter weather as long as there's plenty of moisture that you can provide them.
And you were saying, what, compared to a lot of other trees, they can actually handle and do a better job of capturing that carbon.
That's correct. And mostly it's because of the root system. If you think of the size of a pecan tree, what you see on top, the root system's generally about three times that size underground. And so there you have all that capture, all that woody material in the root system, plus the size of the trunk and the leaves on the trees, the shoots. So a pecan tree can capture a lot of carbon over the time.
Well, that's a question as far as, you know, pecans and Noble, what's coming down the road? You know, you talk a little bit about what you've got as far as a kind of a vision. Where are we going on the next few steps?
We're actually developing a plan to look at the next 20 so years at Noble. And I think you'll see Noble getting more involved in producing pecans, but also the research behind it. We have a solid team of researchers looking at the genomics of pecans, pecan scab, and we're actually got some working on the root systems and how the root system can impact production at a grower level. And that's something that's, even though pecans have been around for hundreds of years, the root system has really not been looked at. So we do have a group of scientists that's looking at the root systems, root stock, what is the best root stock for the producer to be planting. Those are some of the research projects that's in the pipeline right now that we hope to have out to producers within a few years.
Thank you, Charles. Dr. Charles Rolla with the Noble Research Institute. He is the manager for pecan and specialty agricultural systems with Noble in Ardmore. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.